What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the mic, I got my not-so-much pick-and-pop partner tonight, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Doing all right. I mean, it's been a very odd day, though, and it doesn't seem like we're going to be pick-and-pop partners for a while.
I want to refer to you as the banger in the paint, but you might be the boycotting player today. Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
A lot has changed since we chatted earlier today. We were supposed to do this podcast 12 hours ago, and we would have had a completely different podcast.
Oh, that's true. We're recording on, Wednesday night? Obviously, all the games have been postponed today until further notice. We were going to record this morning, or at least one of us thought we were going to record this morning. And you're right, Raj, we're going to talk, series previews for the Raptors-Celtics. We're going to talk about the Nuggets, Jazz series, obviously, you know, LeBron going to the next round, all that kind of stuff. But it just doesn't seem important anymore, does it? I guess we should start off with yesterday. The Raptors and the Celtics were in discussions about postponing their game one of the second round series. Obviously, it was in talks. Nothing was confirmed yet. The teams were going to meet again today to figure it out. And then, boom, close to 4 o'clock, we get the tweet. It was obviously either from Shams or Woj, one of those guys, you know how it is, that the Bucks haven't come on the court. I mean, the game was supposed to start at 4:10, is tip-off time. And at 3:54, 3:50, the team's not out there. There's something going on. And lo and behold, they just never came out. And I don't know how else to say it. So obviously the Bucks decided to sit out today as a protest to, the man Jacob Blake getting shot 7 times in the back in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which is only 40 miles away from Milwaukee. I mean, it actually makes the most sense that the team representing Wisconsin would be the team who stops everything first, right? As soon as that happens, you see the Orlando Magic leave the floor in a very weird manner. I mean, it was really strange. I think the Bucks should have, told them at least that this is what's their plan. Don't let these guys just like wait there. It's kind of weird, but whatever. And then after that, you have Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook meeting, talking about their game tonight. Obviously, they decided to postpone it as well. And then the NBA just cancels it all, postpones everything for the night. There's no way we're gonna have any games. There's no point in even having the discussion of a Lakers-Blazers game tonight because, let's be real, they weren't gonna play it either way if the NBA hadn't stepped in. I don't know how else to say this, guys. I mean, earlier before the bubble started, there was a lot of discussion as led by Kyrie, which, funny enough, we were all ragging on him, but he might have been right about players not wanting to go ahead and continue this bubble, right? The idea that basketball might be taking away from the greater situation at hand when you're talking about racial injustice in the States specifically, but pretty much all over the world. We've all heard the instances of people, the typical ones are like DWBs, like lousy traffic stops for no reason, getting aggressively manhandled for no reason, that kind of stuff. Obviously, we know the major names, Breonna Taylor. I don't know how else to say it, guys. This is a step that they had to take. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of people who fault them, but anyone who we would want to actually listen to, there's no way they're going to get faulted, right? It's more of just something that they have to go through, and then we just need to figure out the next steps, right? I don't know, Raj, I don't even know what to ask. where do we go?
This was always something that the players wanted to bring to the forefront, even if they were to come play. And sports is a huge part of American culture around the world, and for many people, it's a great form of distraction, a great form of entertainment, and it does take away a little from social issues. I don't personally think that they're exclusive things like playing basketball makes social injustice irrelevant, but I do think it does take away some of the attention that could be going towards that cause. And I really think that in this situation, the players did the right thing. I know in terms of what I had read on the reports was they were supposed to make more of a unified signaling that they were boycotting. But I think Milwaukee had taken initiative at that point to decide that they were going to be really the first team to not present themselves to the warm-ups and everything. The dominoes fell after, and as you mentioned, a lot of the other teams, the Rockets, Thunder game, and then eventually the Lakers Trailblazers game got postponed. But in terms of the bigger issue, I think, and it was brought up on many the broadcasts, especially the TNT, is like, how are the players going to move forward with this tomorrow, the next day, in the next week, in the upcoming season? Because this is an important issue. It's an important issue for all fans of basketball, all fans of sport, all fans or people around the world. And they are in a power, they are in a position where they have a great platform to share their message. And I think the one challenge is a lot of the people that watch basketball or do follow these players are probably people who are, generally speaking, understanding of the racial injustices. It's really reaching out to those people who are ignorant, who are unable to see the issues that are in hand or unwilling to accept them and see that there are problems that exist in America and Canada and the rest of the world. And how are they going to get that message across to other people? And getting the message across is the first step, but getting action done is important. So I think hopefully today, as viewers of the NBA, we'll have an idea of what they plan to do and how they plan to go forward. I do think they can effectively do both, but I think the priority is always going to be social justice, and I applaud them for taking the high road. They can easily just turn a blind eye and say, like, this sucks, but we're still going to make millions of dollars and live our fairly privileged lives. But they've really, I think, taken initiative and taken this matter into their own hands. And I think any person who really questions their decision is really not probably in a place to speak for the players and their own experiences and all the injustices that they have experienced, and Black people and people of minorities have experienced around in America and around the world.
Yeah, I think the snowball effect really started with Masai Ujiri and the footage that came out a few days ago with the guard that ran up on him and pushed him first, which we all expected was eventually going to come out. Just sort of weird how it came out after a year, but I guess they were tied up in different lawsuits and such. I think that's what started the whole talk between the Raptors and Celtics potentially boycotting tomorrow. But then, of course, the situation happens in Wisconsin and brings it to the forefront. And it created a trickle-down effect today, obviously, with some baseball teams and some games getting canceled as well. It's a tough situation, obviously. And hopefully it'll create a better trickle-down effect going forward, because nobody really knows what's going to happen yet, because the reports haven't come out from the 8 o'clock meeting. But you would hope that it would create positive change in terms of legislature and things that actually matter. I hope the players actually have a plan moving forward to, after the initial reports came out, it came out that, the Milwaukee Bucks were calling the AG in Wisconsin, and they actually spoke with them regarding what they could do moving forward and trying to help in any way that they can. So that's a positive thing that came out of this, obviously, that they're actually trying to do something versus, just trying to get some, today's like media day and ages. It's like one thing happens, people talk about it for a day, especially in the Trump age, obviously, and it goes away after a day. So if they just do this today and nothing really comes out of it, and they start playing tomorrow, the next day, but nothing in terms of, actually real change with regards to senators and people that actually make these decisions comes out, and they make, a formal agreement, or they talk to the players and they, create some sort of like fundraising fund. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. Nobody really knows what is going to happen, obviously. But you would hope in the next like week or two, something big will happen, and that'll create an even bigger, snowballing effect. And, we'll get to a situation where this kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, even if, this actually goes somewhere, like we all hope it does, and, there is discussion with public officials, it goes beyond just that, right? Like, I think by showing that they're willing to sit out these games, they're actually putting their money on the line, right? we could have easily seen the ownership groups or the league itself either fine the players or whatever, or just say, we're not going to pay you. You know, you cancel this game, that's it. We're not getting any money because we're losing out on advertiser money. The ESPN and Turner are losing out on their advertising. We're out. We're not paying you for this game. But it seems as if the league, the ownership, the governors, everyone is really aligned in this.
Yeah, the NBA is the one league where you would expect that, right? Like, you can never see baseball or football, you know, doing this, being at the forefront of this. But honestly, you know, talking about like the snowball effect or the trickle-down effect, like that's where I think the change has to be in terms of sports, is you're going to have to get college sports and the NFL especially, the people that have like, you know, major stranglehold on white people in America, white people watch these sports on NASCAR, you know, those types of sports. If they started boycotting, then maybe people would look into this more and try to see it from, you know, a black person's point of view. The reason why a lot of white people don't see it from that particular point of view is because it obviously doesn't hit home. It doesn't affect them. It has to really majorly impact them in order for them to actually do something about it. A lot of people are going to be staying silent, or you see a lot of stuff on online, obviously, where you just don't want to read comment sections now because they're just disgusting. honestly. But it's really got to hit home and affect people's lives, because a lot of people, like, college sports is their livelihood, you know? Like, they go home every Saturday afternoon, they're watching their college sports. So if, you know, an entity that's mostly followed by white people eventually boycotts, I think that could eventually create major change in the country.
So isn't it, like, a bigger issue than you would think that the MLB actually had 3 games being postponed today? Obviously, the Brewers and the Reds sat out, obviously, because Milwaukee is, you know, same thing with the Bucks, right? Just due to proximity, it only made sense. And then you had the Seattle Mariners also sitting out today because they had, the highest population of black players on their team. So they just called it, postponed it. You're looking at a game of the LA Angels and Houston Astros also being postponed. Dodgers and Giants also being postponed. That's 4 games, sorry, with major market teams. It's a pretty big impact, right? Like, it's gone beyond just the NBA at this point, or so I would hope.
Yeah, I think the NBA has shown that they're one of the leagues that's the most progressive, and in retrospect, I think they were right in when they decided to stop the Jazz game after Rudy Gobert ended up being COVID positive, and they were right in the long run because the rest of America ended up shutting down, not entirely, but they were the first league to do it. And then all the other leagues kind of followed suit. And again, same scenario. If, let's say, Milwaukee didn't boycott this game, I don't think the MLB would have had teams boycott. So clearly the NBA is giving a lot of power to their players. And I think a little more of the reaction from other sports leagues in terms of MLB, MLS, was reactionary. I think they reacted and they understood that this was a sensitive topic and they kind of did it in solidarity. And we'll see what happens in the next coming days, how this progresses forward. Are these players meeting? Are they looking to have specific outcomes that they want addressed or certain issues? And again, I like I mentioned earlier, I think sports plays a role in the sense that it's almost a bit of a distraction, a force, a sense of normalcy. Like, we turn on our TV, there's sports on. It makes things seem like they're back to normal. And I think right now, for a movement that's gaining momentum, it is taking a bit of emphasis off away from that. And I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows. I don't even think people who are boycotting know, the players know exactly what's going to happen. I think it was more reactionary from the other leagues. And again, they're hurting the owners where it hurts most, the wallets, unfortunately. And money makes the world go round, right? So if people are losing money, they have more incentive to tend to their own needs and see what needs to be done.
I think the one thing that the players could do that could, you know, help further along, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, progressive change in this situation, is they need to talk to players in the other sports And I honestly think that, you know, the NFL is not starting for a while, honestly, right? But if you get LeBron to talk to these players and be like, you tell your owners that you guys are not going to be playing come day one until, you know, there's massive change in the country. A lot of these owners, they contribute to, you know, the Republican Party, obviously, especially the white owners, right? So if these guys are not making money off this and their players are telling them, like, we're not playing for you if, you know, this continues, you continue to contribute to the Trump campaign, whatever, and the money stops coming in, and then, you know, eventually maybe the other side takes over and then there is progressive change in that case. So there's little things they can do. And there's an election coming up, obviously, too, right? So LeBron has, you know, a good guideline on what he's doing right now in terms of creating that program that's getting a lot of people to vote. He's also paying off a lot of, you know, the dues for people in Florida that were incarcerated. They have these odd laws that me and Peter were talking about earlier today where they have to pay off all their dues in order to be able to vote again. And because these people are just getting out of prison, they don't have any money, obviously. So LeBron's paying these people's fees in order for them to be able to vote. Like, things like that are... It's, you know, they're going in the right direction with items like that, but they have to have some sort of, you know, plan moving forward and making big changes. They can't just be sitting out games unless, you know, again, like all sports shut down. If they're able to somehow make this like a movement across the board, then that could be like a major thing, but I don't really foresee that happening.
The real issue is a lot of these owners are coming from a position of power in the sense that they've always been the most powerful person in the room. A lot of them have other business ventures that allowed them to purchase sports teams, and they're very successful businessmen. And I think owners in general don't like being told what to do. And yes, they have incentive to get the leagues back running, financial incentive. But I can also foresee a situation where they say like, okay, well, you're not going to get paid. And then for a lot of players, this is their livelihood. And like, we know the people we see on TV that make it represent a small percentage of people that actually have go through the sacrifice and put in the hours of training and all that. And not everyone ends up making a lot of money like LeBron or Patrick Mahomes and like other big names in various sports. So I think the challenge is finding that right balance. And again, I feel that people that do watch sports like basketball, I would say they're more open to hearing and working towards improvement than other sports that aren't taking action, or other groups in the States where they're less open to the idea that there are systemic injustices against minorities. And those are groups that those people don't watch sports. They're not affected by this. Like, they're going to wake up tomorrow and not know what's happening, and they're not going to care, and they're still going to have their same beliefs that the way America is perfect and they should go back to their old way of living.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Josh, going back to your point with like getting other leagues involved, or, you know, getting ownership involved in a way to not strong arm them in a sense, but more of just to, you know, show them the light, basically, right? Could you imagine... Okay, aside from Patrick Mahomes, who's the biggest NFL stars right now? Lamar Jackson, Brady is still up top.
Aaron Rodgers.
Who else? Like, Aaron Rodgers. So we just named off two old white guys who have been in the league for at least two decades, right? Tom Brady is known to be a major Republican. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy's politics, to be honest. But can we really, like... Are we really expecting someone like Brady to go out and be up there for his teammates and ride behind them when he was the guy who was telling his teammates to come to practice during Corona? Like, in the middle of the pandemic, Brady was that guy on the field saying, I'm out here with or without you guys. Can we really expect him to be the kind of leader that we, not that we want him to be, but like someone to really take charge and give them an older white perspective from the situation, you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna speak on Brady and other players. I think the issue is, again, like, they're speaking from a position of privilege and things have worked out in their life and he's super successful. Like, why would he want things to drastically change? Why would he foresee an issue with the current way his life is going? And I think that's just lacking awareness. And of course, obviously, I don't know Tom Brady personally, and I'm sure that he probably agrees to a certain degree that there are some injustices, but his experience is vastly different than probably a majority of his teammates who are visible minorities. And he's also extremely successful. He's like that 1% that made it and had all the glamour and all the advertisements, and everyone treats him like royalty. Like, he's not going to know what it feels like to be treated like shit. And when all those people that are treating him like royalty, he's not going to be like, no, they're horrible people. They're great to him. They're just assholes to everyone else.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, as I said before, like, the players need to come together. It can't just be, like, you know, Tom Brady speaking out. It has to be all the top players together. Plus, obviously, their teammates coming together and being like, you know what, we're not paying until something happens. I don't know. I really do think that it has to be coming from the top players, as you said, but as a group, it can't just be one guy. I don't know. They have to go through ownership, obviously, because they have all the money, they have the power, and a lot of these guys, again, are major donors. So, you know, you tell the ownership that in your specific city that, you know, we're not playing again until there's police reform in Milwaukee, in LA, whatever, you know? And then I'm sure at that point, with, you know, the amount of money that these teams make, especially in the NFL, that might strong arm, you know, policymakers in that city to actually look at these things and actually do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate that, like, that line of thinking, right, where you need, it's basically a put up or shut up kind of situation for the players. It's you, like, you have this platform, right? You're for the NBA, you're one of the best 400 players in the world. For the NFL, you're like, what, one of the best thousands, basically, because their rosters are so deep. Same with the MLB. But the idea is that you have an elevated platform compared to the rest of us, right? Like, speaking of us specifically, we're literally just three dudes sitting and talking over the internet, right? These guys have millions of followers, if not hundreds of thousands, millions of followers, and have a voice that's actually listened to. Right, whether it's listened to by, again, just dudes, like regular people, or listened to by ownership, by their executives. It might not be their owners that listen specifically, but it could be their friends, it could be other, you know, high execs, GMs, coaches, anyone that they meet, right? The network that these people have is so much more elevated than ours. And the idea that they don't use it is just wild to me. And it's not like the expectation is high, right? So the Bucks released a statement where Sterling Brown and George Hill spoke on behalf of the team and demanded that the Wisconsin State Legislature reconvene, basically just to address issues of police accountability, brutality, and criminal justice reform. That's it. It's not even asking you to do much. It's literally just, hey, can you, like, get back to work? Why aren't you looking at these things? It's so simple, right? Like, if you're in your office and someone's not, you know, pulling their end of a project that you're working on, you're like, hey, you wanna get to this? You wanna get some work done here? It's pretty simple logic, right? It's what they're paid to do. It's what they've been voted in to do by their constituents. So basically just, like, get to work, for lack of better terms.
Yeah, the one thing I do worry about, though, is this sort of came out of nowhere with the Bucks doing this. Like, it seemed like the Boston Celtics and Toronto Raptors were coming together to make a statement tomorrow, potentially, by boycotting the game together and having a message together. But I get it. Obviously, Milwaukee was, you know, the team from Wisconsin. They want to make a statement right away, but it just seemed out of left field. So this is a major step, obviously, and what you do from here is going to, you know, very much impact what happens going forward. So they need to have a plan coming out of this meeting. And if they don't, and they start playing 2 days from now, and they're trying to give the same sort of messaging with hashtags and things on the court that, you know, it had an impact for a couple of days when people heard about it, but it hasn't really gone anywhere, and it hasn't really created any type of change. Again, the only change I've really seen so far is, like, you know, guys like LeBron setting up different programs and such, and they need to come out of this massive day with something like that and tell the world what they're doing in the next few days, maybe before the weekends.
Yeah, and I was actually talking to Peter about this before we started the podcast. I think another thing that they could do is, again, the playoffs bring in lots of viewers across America, Canada, the rest of the world, is I think just an idea. I think instead of having the coaches talk about what adjustments they're going to do in the second half and get the same generic answers, like, they can have pre-recorded messages in between quarters talking about the issues. And again, it could be about, like, hey, like, if you're in this community, like, please contact these people. This is the, like, we're looking about these cases or this example, or we need these following legislators, like, working on this project. And it could be tangible things. And I think it's tough because a lot of this stuff isn't measurable, and like, justice isn't measurable. So I think there are ways to improve what they're doing, like the whole wearing a shirt, Black Lives Matter on the back of their jerseys. Like, that was good. It brought attention. I think that's a start, but again, it didn't, like, pick up momentum. It didn't lead to more further change or action. And how are you measuring their impact? It's hard, right? Like, it's, they want to know that they're making an impact while they're playing.
Did you guys see what the Washington Mystics of the WNBA did tonight?
I know they didn't play.
Yeah, so all the WNBA games postponed. Obviously, that's natural. But the players wore shirts that spelled out Jacob Blake. And each of the shirts had 7 circles on the back to signify bullet holes. Now, that's heavy. Like, you're talking about messaging during games, before, after games, and whatever. It's good that the players and coaches have been talking about this stuff. Like, we saw Doc Rivers talk about this yesterday during his post game, but it's those kind of messages that, as much as I hate to say it, virality goes a long way. If an NBA team wore that kind of stuff, like if the Bucks wore that out onto the court and then left, that would have been heavy.
Yeah, again, I think, like, they have a platform in the sense of the NBA, and I think it can be used, but again, what are they trying to do? And I'm talking about they as in the players, because they have a huge platform that many of us don't, but, like, what is their measurable outcomes? Like, what are their goals that they're striving for, the how they're measuring their success? Because justice, again, and I think all of them know it won't happen overnight, but they're looking for progress, and how are you going to measure that progress is important. And I agree. I think there's, that was a, even just hearing about that kind of gave me a bit of shivers, and it makes you wonder. And again, there are ways to keep bringing these issues out. And I think the good part about it is, even if they do something like that, it makes you, even if you're getting entertained by the basketball, you feel a bit uncomfortable with some of the issues that are being brought up, in terms of how this is still happening, like, a man who was unarmed getting shot 7 times with his kids in his car. Like, that's uncomfortable. And if I had children and we were trying to watch the basketball game, like, I would want them to watch the local team play. But if the players were also sending this message, I would be like, man, like, I have to explain this to my kids, because they're going to ask, like, why does their jerseys have 7 holes on them? Or, like, why is one of our favorite players now talking about someone who got killed? Like, what happened?
And on the note of messaging, with the WNBA, I think it was about a month ago or so, where the owner of the Atlanta Dream, Kelly Loeffler, who's also a senator in Atlanta, Georgia, she said that she didn't, you know, support the Black Lives Matter movement, and the players wore a t-shirt saying, "Vote Warnick," who was the opposition for her in the Senate, I believe, in Georgia. So I think that the players need to look at that kind of thing, like, look at specific races in, you know, what's going on right now with the election and such. Like, there's a bunch of different elections that are going on. They're going to be coming up in November and December and January, etc. And, you know, if they say they're going to be putting a lot of money into, like, say, for example, you know, the Kentucky AG, who won't bring forward the cases against the police officers who killed Breonna Taylor, he's not, you know, really doing anything right now. And he's on, you know, the Republican National Convention, you know, talking about, you know, safety of the community and such. He's obviously full of shit. So, I mean, if NBA players came with a message saying that, you know, you need to vote for his opposition, and they donated to that guy's party, that's a positive change that they can make. They can have specific messaging to create good change in specific communities, especially in situations where, you know, unarmed black men are being killed. And if, you know, the people in charge are not doing their jobs properly in those communities, they should be bringing that to light and saying, you know what, if these guys aren't doing their jobs, you need to put money into and vote for this other person. They need to make it more specific, because yeah. Like a lot of the talk right now is just very vague.
Also, man, shout out to the WNBA. I don't watch the WNBA like a lot of people say that they do. Like, I just never did growing up. I watch highlights here and there, but I'm starting to consume more of it now. And part of it is because they're one of the more vocal leagues. But I heard on JJ Redick's podcast with Sue Bird that the players on her team, the Seattle Storm, I believe.
Yeah,
they haven't been out there for the national anthem at all during the bubble, or the wobble, as they're calling it. Straight up, they're just like, no, we're out. Each team gets to dictate what they do during the national anthems, and they're just saying, no, we're out. What's the point of this for us? The WNBA is just like, I think in terms of social justice messaging, they're miles ahead of every other league. So shouts to them. Do you guys think we're going to get any NBA action before all this is done?
Well, as Raj said, money makes the world go round. So I can't really see them sitting out the rest of the season, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, middling guys in middle level contracts, short-term contracts that obviously want to be paid for this time that they've decided to be away from their families and go into the bubble. So I think if they take a vote, I think they're going to ultimately, I mean, some reports have come out already saying that, you know, the players, majority of them have wanted to, you know, decide to play. But that could change with the meeting at 8 o'clock, obviously, which we still haven't seen any news come out of. But earlier in the afternoon, you know, in terms of the players that have come out and talked to these reporters, it said that, you know, Milwaukee, for example, they still are in support of, you know, playing games again, but maybe that changes over the course of this meeting with all the NBA players. So, I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah, I'm going to say 66% chance that they end up playing within the next week, and then obviously 33% that we get no more basketball, but we'll see what happens. I think a lot will be dependent on what happens with this case with Jacob Blake. I think Jacob Blake's, like, the shooting involving Jacob Blake was like the match that got lit, and it got thrown into a bunch of, like, a volatile situation, like where there was a lot of things that the players were unhappy with, and the lack of change and not being with their family and seeing all this justice still happening while they're playing basketball. It makes them feel like their efforts were being wasted. So I think there will be basketball, but we'll see.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, guys, I think we're going to call it here. I want to thank everyone for listening. You know, the usual: rate, subscribe, remember, podcast, you know, that's us, do the stuff. I just want to keep it short here. And above all else, man, go out there and vote. Peace.